Hello, Columbus. It's WCRS 102.1 and 98.3. Your low-power community station for Central Ohio. This is Zach, in for Dana today. Dana is over in his Linden area home, working on some of the storm damage, making sure the goodies in that fridge don't go bad. So best of luck to you, Dano, and your neighbors. And we've got two very special guests. Dr. Bob.
Hi. Is this what it feels like to be feel famous?
And Eugene Beer.
Well, Bob, you know, it depends if anybody's listening or not.
That's right. I forgot about that. Okay. Are you listening?
Yeah. Anybody listening out there?
I'm famous.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit today about the recent actions of Mother Nature here in Central Ohio.
The ones that gave us this opportunity to get famous on radio instead of the normal show that's out.
Yeah. So, I tell you, this is the first time in my life I've had to deal with no electricity for 4 days in a row now, and who knows when it's going to come back on here in Clintonville. Bob, you lost a couple days of electricity?
Yeah, just a day, and we didn't lose much food, but I wasn't here anyway. I was up in Ann Arbor celebrating, sort of, and I was amazed. We had like hurricane rains, and the wind was terrific, but I think that the wind was stronger down here.
Yeah, I tell you, it just looked like devastation supreme. I went down to New Orleans shortly after Hurricane Katrina to volunteer, and there were large sections of the city that were just pitch black, no lights on in the neighborhood, no traffic lights, stop signs blown over. It was almost that bad here, that eerie over here, driving
in
around.
In terms of darkness. More things were blown down over there, right?
Correct. Oh, yeah, way more was blown down. Traffic lights were blown down. Houses were blown apart. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, people get used to having electricity and everything, and I'm just not so sure it's a good idea.
I'm sorry, to do what?
To get used to having electricity.
That's true. It felt like, you know, I was getting into self-survival mode, which I should have to experience a little more often.
That's a good idea.
What did you guys do, light candles and use flashlights?
Well, in Ann Arbor, the power wasn't out. I think they have a special connection with somebody up there. I don't know.
Oh,
yeah, I dare say.
With the liberal god.
Yeah, the liberal gods up there. Well, yeah. I was surrounded by people that had liberal-leaning signs, and I was up there with people who I used to do organizing work with and all. That's a long way from the subject of weather forecast on here, but I can get us back down to that in a while, okay? I promise.
Okay.
But I have never seen trees blowing, hardwood trees blowing like the palm trees do on hurricanes in Florida and Texas.
That's very true. In fact, on our street, 5 houses down, a tree... Mm-hmm. Blew right on top of a house and punched a hole in the roof. Luckily, no one was injured, and they were able to tarp up the hole pretty quickly. But the tree's still there today on the roof.
Who is the they? I got to ask you that. They who papered over the hole or whatever.
Oh, it was, you know, it's a good question. It was the homeowner plus 3 or 4 other neighbors that volunteered their busy time and their own cleanup they needed to attend to, and they... Mm-hmm. They helped this guy work up on his roof.
That's kind of what I was thinking about. You know, I stopped the other day to calculate how many places I've been run out of since I graduated from college in the 14th century. Actually, it's 1971. I moved 38 times between 1971 and 1999.
Wow.
38. And among the places I was run out of was Buffalo, New York. I used to walk to, I was an organizer up in Buffalo, New York for a while. And the most people that I met came during the worst period of storms. It snowed 14 out of 17 days or 15 out of 17 is a record number of days in a row or something, not total inches. But I, instead of driving or riding a bus or anything, I walked 1.5 miles to work because it was just a lot easier. Pushed cars out of the road. And all that kind of stuff. And, I met a lot of people that way. People helped out each other and never expected anything in return. It's amazing how cooperation comes and then things come back to normal and, oh, where'd they go? No more cooperation. Who were those people that were helping me a minute ago where I was helping? What do you think about that? Where does it go?
Where does it go? I think it just gets obscured by everybody's routine, you know?
There's a little guy next door and I ask him, Mikey, where does the rain go after it stops? Or where? he thinks I'm crazy, but that's the kind of question. Like, where does the cooperation go? Where does the neighborliness go? Do we get talked out of it? Do we?
Yeah, I think to some extent when you hear our government saying it does not take a village to do anything, you know, the government saying that we're just all out for ourselves and each of ourselves, and it's not community-mindedness that they are espousing. But I think down in all of our hearts, we long to help out our fellow mankind.
How can you tell? How would you describe this feeling of longing to help out your fellow man or woman? Or
well, mostly? You know, in my neighborhood, there are actually neighbors that I've never met or spoken with. And when I saw huge limbs in their front yard, I wanted an excuse to go up and talk to them. So, I said, hey, can I help you move that branch out of your yard? It took two people in many cases to drag them away. And, that's the feeling that, a longingness to communicate with people around me, but not having a particular reason to do it or a particular acceptable something that comes up unexpected to bring you in.
Now you realize that when you move those trees, you got in the way of small business people coming over and moving the trees, charging money and making profit, don't you?
That's true, yes, I suppose.
It's an uphill battle all the time in this country.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Especially sawing up the trees on our own, we
chipping them and stuff.
Yeah.
I was driving down the road yesterday, 23. It's one of the historical curiosities is that the University of Michigan and Ohio State University are both located on the same road. I don't know if people know
High
that.
High Street.
US 23.
Oh, US 23, yeah.
They're both on...
I have a geographical objection to that. US 23 through Columbus on the north end is on Summit and 4th Street, not High Street.
Thank you for pointing that out, Zach. That is correct, yes.
Wow, I stand corrected.
I believe when I was a kid, 23 did run along High Street.
Oh, you know what? When I used to hitchhike from here to there, that's when it was. I'll bet you 23 used to be down here.
Yeah, I think they moved it when the riots happened in 1970, the Kent State riots that expanded to OSU, and High Street was closed, and it was scene of unrest, and so they moved 23 at that point.
I'm sure that I wouldn't have thought of that if it wasn't true, at least at one time.
Yeah, yeah. That was before Zach's time.
Yeah. Columbus had just discovered America when it happened. Anyway.
So we're here today on Talk of the Town. I'm with Dr. Bob. My name is Eugene. And we're sitting in today for Dano, who is out busy helping his neighbors, as we talked about, clean up after the debris deluge on Sunday. I tell you, on Sunday, I was actually swimming at a party in somebody's backyard pool. Nice. And as we were swimming, there was a loud cracking sound, and the electrical wire behind the yard, which was only about 10, 15 feet back from the pool, it snapped, and it started thrashing about wildly in the wind, and this wire could have landed in the pool.
Oh.
And luckily, it snapped right near the transformer, the electrical transformer, and so the piece of wire that was thrashing was dead. It was not live. So none of us would have been hurt, but it was scary.
That was really lucky because then I'd have to do this show by myself.
That's true. There's nothing worse than doing a show by yourself.
Yeah, I know. I can't imagine that one. Okay, yeah. Anyway, I was driving down from Ann Arbor in there are streetlights off, and you know, you drive off the streetlights and that you're used to not seeing or cruising through and stop and all that. And every other light was stop and go, stop, go. It was really something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, let's talk a little bit about media coverage of the event.
That's a good idea. Was there any?
I'll tell you, I was frustrated. I was tuned into some of the big AM stations that typically give disaster information and weather information minute by minute. Mm-hmm. And they just were on their merry way with airing commercials and mm-hmm. pretty much their standard schedule. I would have expected it to be a special day-long break in the normal broadcasting, because I drove around. I couldn't find an open gas station. I couldn't find a supermarket. I didn't know where the power was on to drive to, and it wasn't being disseminated on the radio waves.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's that the radio people, the TV people are in selling soap. And the Weather Channel gets to sell a lot of soap about weather, so they might just not have enough people out there looking. But it seems like a public service needs to get done with a public resource like the radio, electromagnetic frequency range out there.
Well, you know, I felt like AEP, American Electric Power, that serves this area, was being very secretive and not very forthright with information as to which areas were dark and which might remain in the dark for days on end. They kept saying, well, we'll get the power back by Monday at the latest. Well, that doesn't tell you much. Is that 50% of the people get their mm-hmm. power back by Monday, or just the last 10% or mm-hmm. what? I would have taken a lot of different action if I had known my power was going to be out for 4 days.
Right. You know, that raises a question about the expectations of contemporary living. Like, people take the electric power grid for so much for granted that, and it's like a right to have it. And people don't want to be interrupted, and they don't want to have to be interrupted for very long, and they want to have it scheduled. They want to know when they'll stop being interrupted. But nature's not like that, I don't think.
That's
nature
true.
Nature has a schedule of things. And, you know, back in 1977, I always remember, or 78, there was one of those winters, it was snow, there was a blizzard out, and people died on Interstate 70. Really died because their cars were... Do you remember that happened?
I remember the blizzard of 77, yeah. I guess it was.
Well, I was out cross-country skiing in it because I loved it. It was like below zero wind chill, and I had snow and ice all over my face. Meanwhile, people were freezing to death and because they don't want to be inconvenienced or whatever. So, and I kind of think that unless there's some kind of untowardness about income areas, this higher income areas, you might wonder whether they got the service first and lower second. I'm not alleging anything out there, lawyers. This is just a comment. You know, if it were that way, then that would be something to keep it underneath or suppress the information.
That's true, yeah.
It would certainly be an interesting thing to map out if we were to have the data on what went off. When it came back on, I could map something like that, and you could see maybe a spatial pattern.
Sure, but the street, just to illustrate the complexity of that, the street just adjacent to the one that I live on in Grandview Heights had many trees torn down, and ours didn't.
Yeah.
And just so that the location wouldn't, you'd have to have some kind of severity map, too.
Just for the record, though, FYI, Upper Arlington was out, and it just came on last night, parts of Central Upper Arlington, and Bexley was still out today, and Worthington was out yesterday, so some of the wealthier suburbs did pay the price.
As well as Victorian Village, which would probably be put in that class.
Yes, sure. Of course, Ohio State University has its own power plant, and they did have electricity, as well as the traffic lights in that area near OSU.
Hmm. Eugene, we didn't set up a clock to know what the time is right now. What's the time?
Quarter of.
I feel like George Bush looking at his watch in the middle of the debate. I got to figure out, you know, how much are what else is going on here? Huh?
We're going to take a musical break right now, and you're listening to Talk of the Town today with Dr. Bob and Eugene. This is Talk of the Town today from the WCRS studios in Clintonville. We finally got our power back late yesterday, so we're able to broadcast. I'm here, Eugene, with
Dr. Bob here.
With Dr. Bob. Yes. Yeah. Bob, what do you think of the pick of Sarah Palin?
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me this. Actually, my first thing is I thought it was going to be Michael Palin, because I saw this... my subject line on in my email inbox said, "Mikhail chooses Palin," and that was the only Palin I knew. So I was just ready for a big joke. I opened it with a bigger, worse joke than I thought.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Let's remind our listeners that we are airing opinion, our own personal opinion here, and commentary as we speak.
Oh. Should I be more cautious?
No, absolutely not.
Right, okay. Well, I'm not trying to sell on any soap.
You know what bugs...
But that is what I thought. I really did think Michael Palin. I wrote something about it as being Monty Python's or somebody else's flying circus that's running for president, actually, I named, since I have to be more judicious here.
So what do you think about the Republican talking point that says, Sarah Palin took on big oil? How did she take on big oil? She brought on big oil.
Yeah, I thought so. But that's not the thing that gets me the most. It seems to be a project or an attempt that's working. That's what scares me. But what really bothers me is the cynicalness of it all. I just found it cynical to reduce people, to pick a person who, it's like, in a way, it's a Clarence Thomas pick for a for Supreme Court. I'm going to get in trouble on this one, but it's a feminist line. A woman is chosen I'm going to stop before I get my other foot in my mouth. Anyway, I was very upset at it for the cynicism of it all, as I saw. And what about you, Eugene?
I was really upset by the fact that they could even think that Hillary Clinton, women that supported Hillary, might go over and support McCain and Palin.
But some, I've heard people, some of them say that they were.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people, a lot of women in particular that worked hard for Hillary were angry, and perhaps you can't blame them, but to vote in somebody like Palin, who's going to set back women's rights 100 years, doesn't seem very productive to me.
At least as long as Judge Roberts is alive, I think.
which could be a long time.
But I had this, did I tell you about my... my idea that possibly they had a prenuptial agreement, possibly in quotes, between the Mr. McCain, Senator McCain, and Palin, Sarah Palin.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Okay. Well, this, see, I watch Mission Impossible a lot.
Oh, so
did I. It gets your mind twisted a lot.
Exactly.
I tell people I root for the United States in Mission Impossible reruns and men's soccer. So anyway, so my mind gets all going. I thought, well, you know, maybe this prenup, that if everybody's worried about McCain dying from old age or whatever, or skin cancer, which I've had problems with myself, you know, so I can't wish a mill on that. But anyway, so Sarah Palin agrees that if he dies in office, that as her first official act, she appoints Dick Cheney as vice president. And as her second official act, she resigned, citing incompetence, ironically.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what happened. People always talk about Jerry Ford being president, but most people forget Nelson Rockefeller was a vice presidential in that same way.
That's true, but don't you think, from seeing Sarah Palin in the last few weeks, I think she would just thrive on the power of the presidency, even though she might not have the experience. Oh. I doubt she would give it up.
I agree with you. I was just trying to be funny. I was trying to make it a little bit less unbearable.
But Bob, that's not funny. Dick Cheney is president. That's not funny.
Well, he might not have been president. He might have been promoted from Darth to emperor or other kinds of nasty. He could actually, remember, a guy that'll shoot a friend of his in a face with his shotgun can be whatever he wants to get called, right?
That's true.
Okay. What's up?
So during the power outage, Eugene, did you use your pedal-powered bicycle to start up some homes and give back to the grid?
Well, for that neighbor that whose tree fell down on the house, it was pretty much dusk at that point. I pedaled over there with my super 50-watt halogen bike light and shined it on the roof for them so they could see to do the repair work. And then I rode off, into the night and checked out, you know, some of my friends' homes to see if they were okay. And I rode over to my mom's house and saw the tree that we had just had trimmed last year. It was probably trimmed down to 50% of what it was. Even that, it had lost some big branches. Hmm. But they did not hit the house, luckily.
Now, is that bright light considered like a photon torpedo or more of one of those phaser?
Oh, my bike light?
Yeah, your bike light.
I think of it as a photon torpedo.
Photon torpedo. Yeah.
It's a big burst.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you ever have one of those things? One of my buddies had like a kid's control stick that had sound effects built into it. You could drive around and like photon torpedo people and all that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I did that even, I think I was at Cornell studying, and we were that is where I was. And the guy showed up. Actually, he brought it with him from Michigan, and that might go over as a big joke here. So, but, you know, on the subject of cooperation that you were talking about before, how much time do we have on left? About 5 minutes?
3 minutes.
Well, maybe we'll continue this next time, but, you know, there's a book about Pittsburgh, the collapse of the steel industry, called the wolf finally came. And that was the name given to the book. But the author describes how football in the cities along the Ohio River was used by owners of steel companies to divide and fracture the public so they couldn't cooperate across their jurisdictional boundaries. And on the way up to Michigan, I was thinking, you know, Ohio and Michigan might have a lot more in common to try to solve problems now if they could work together than football season makes it seem. All the antagonism around football season.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
So I wonder if all y'all Ohio State students out there, I brought this up to one Michigan student who I know up in Ann Arbor on the weekend, and maybe you Ohio State fans are interested in cooperating around the economy here. Give us a call here at the station. Call Eugene.
So, Zach, can you tell us about this new bike ride on Thursday nights, every third Thursday?
Yes, I believe it's every third Thursday ride. It's organized by the Westerville to Arena District Bikeways Association, who are working on getting a paved bikeway built between Westerville and the Arena District along abandoned railroad right-of-ways. It would be connecting Westerville, the Taramac area, Northern Linden, Mifflinville, Clintonville, Ohio State Campus, Italian Village, Milo Grogan, on all the neighborhoods in between, all the way toward downtown. But anyway, it's the third Thursday of the month, and it starts in Westerville and goes to the Arena District, and people can join along the way. I'd visit wadbikeways.com. or wadbikeways.org to find out more information about that and about the bike trail in general. But I think it's time for this to wrap up the show. Once
bye,
again,
kids.
Thanks again, Dr. Bob.
Bye.
And thanks again, Eugene Beer.
Yeah, have a good evening, everybody.
And I want to give a big promo for a big event downtown this weekend, Independence Day. It's this September 20th, celebrating the capital city's independent merchants, artists, artisans, and general spirit. That'll be downtown all day Saturday on Gay Street and Pearl Street. Come on down and enjoy the fun and festivities. There'll be two stages playing a variety of local indie acts. Once again, Independence Day. Go to thisisindependence.com. For Dano, this is Zach, Eugene, and Dr. Bob. Have a good day.